I'm Dr. Akinwumi Akinyemi. I'm a practicing medical doctor. I'm here to talk about COVID-19 coronavirus infection. Coronavirus is a virus primarily of animal origin. It resides and infects animals. However, it can be transmitted from animals to humans and thereafter spread from persons to persons. COVID-19 coronavirus is a new strain of the coronavirus that is currently infecting humans worldwide. The statistics to date are increasing and alarming. The symptoms of coronavirus could be mild, severe, or critical. I must say that to date, there are no vaccines to prevent the COVID-19. However, there are several simple, regular measures we can take to prevent the infection. One of such is to regularly wash our hands with liquid soap under running water. In the absence of that, we could regularly apply alcohol-based hand sanitizers to our hands. We should also follow the principle of social distancing, meaning we should keep about 3 feet away from one another. If you are coughing, cough into the bent elbow rather than the hands. Also, avoid touching the eyes, the nose, and the mouth with the hand, especially if they are not clean. Avoid shaking of hands. You can use other means of greetings like a wave, a bow, and other means. Avoid contact with people that are sick. If you are sick, you have symptoms that suggest that you may have COVID-19 infection, fever, cough, difficulty with breathing, and other symptoms. Avoid public places. Don't go to work. Don't go to school. Seek medical assistance. Clean surfaces that you touch regularly. The door, knob, and other surfaces you touch regularly. Avoid eating raw and undercooked food and animal organs. I'll say from the outset, contracting COVID-19 infection is not a death sentence in all cases. 80% of persons that have contracted it will have mild symptoms and will recover fully from it. The challenge is in the remaining 20% of persons who might require hospital admission because of severe and critical symptoms. The chances of survival is slimmer, but is still good, provided there are no chronic medical conditions in the persons, such as hypertension, diabetes, cancers, and other debilitating illnesses, whose bodies may not be able to mount adequate immunity to the viral infection. Remember, our safety is our collective responsibility. So, stay positive, stay safe, and stay healthy.
Lord, we pray that as we want to go to the session of praising you in singing now, you be with us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We are gathering together unto thee. We are gathering together unto thee. Unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. We are gathering together unto thee, unto the Lord. Unto the Lord we are gathering together, unto the Lord. Unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. Unto the Lord we are gathering together unto thee. We are gathering together unto thee. Unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. We are gathering together unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Emmanuel is said. Emmanuel is said. Emmanuel is said. Praise his holy name. Emmanuel is said. Emmanuel is said. Emmanuel is said. Oh, praise his holy name. Emmanuel is said. 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 Praise his holy name. Emmanuel is said. Emmanuel is said. Emmanuel is said. Oh, praise his holy name. Blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name, O Lord. Blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name, O Lord. Blessed be thy name. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name, blessed be thy name, O Lord. Hallelujah. Blessings and honor and glory and praise, and glory and praise, and glory and praise. Blessings and honor and glory and praise be unto Christ our Lord. And glory and praise. Blessings and honor and glory and praise. Hallelujah. Blessings and honor and glory and praise, and glory and praise. Hallelujah for the Lord God, omnipotent reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Omnipotent reigns. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory, honor, power, majesty be unto Christ our Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Be unto Christ our Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Magnify him, magnify him, magnify Christ our Lord, magnify. Let us magnify, magnify him. Oh, magnify Christ our Lord, magnify. Magnify. Jesus the same yesterday, today and forever. He is the same today and mighty to save. Today and forever. Jesus the same yesterday, today and forever. He is the same today and mighty to save. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him, angels bow before him. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. Father, Almighty Father, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. I have a father. I have a father, Almighty Father. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. I have a father. Amen. I have found Jesus. Amen. He is able to do all things. Hallelujah. Jesus, amen. Amen. I have found Jesus. Amen. He is able to do all things. Hallelujah. Amen. I have found Jesus. Amen. He is able to do all things. Hallelujah. Messiah is the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Messiah is the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Messiah is the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Messiah is the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Messiah is the King of kings. Messiah is the Lord of lords. Jesus the King, the King of Kings. Jesus, the King of Kings. My soul I found a refuge in him. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the King of Kings. My soul I found a refuge in him. Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the King of Kings. Of Kings. Jesus is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. Heaven and earth bow before him. Jesus is a mighty God. Jesus is a mighty God. Heaven and earth bow before him. Even demons bow before him. Jesus is a King of Kings. Jesus is the King of Kings. Heaven and earth bow before him. Heaven and earth bow before him. He is able, abundantly able, to deliver. Abundantly able to deliver those who trust in him. He is able. Able to deliver and to save. Is able. I will sing hallelujah, glorify my Father for what he has done. My mouth cannot tell. I will sing hallelujah, glorify my Savior for what he has done. My mouth cannot. I will sing. Do not allow me, Lord. Do not allow me, Lord. Do not allow me, Savior, to go empty and dead. Do not allow me, Lord. Do not allow me, Lord. Do not allow me, Father, to go empty and dead. Do not allow me, Lord. Do not allow me, Lord. Do not allow me, Savior. graveyard to go empty and dead. Visit me, Father, visit me. Visit me, Father, visit me. As you visited the saints of old with your mighty power, Father, visit me, visit me. Visit me, Lord. Visit me. Visit me, Lord. Visit me, Father, visit me. Visit me. Visit me, Lord. He will fill my heart today to overflowing, as the Lord commanded me. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill my heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost and fire. He will fill my heart today to overflow. As the Lord commanded me, bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill my heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and oh Lord, come down and manifest your power. Oh Lord, come down, come and manifest your glory. Power to heal, power to save, come and manifest your power. The power, the Pentecostal power is just the same today, no matter what they say. The power, the Pentecostal power, it is just the same today, the power. The power, the power, the power is just the same today. I love that man of Galilee. And send the Holy Ghost to me. I love that man of Galilee.
He has forgiven me all my sins and sent the Holy Ghost.
GHS 175. GHS 175.
Today we're going to continue with our Bible reading. But before we read, shall we just have a moment of prayer? Father, we're asking that you will open our eyes of understanding as we read your word today. We're asking that relevant passages that really speak to our present needs and problems, spiritually and physically and materially, you will impress upon our hearts. Be with us, enlighten us, instruct us, teach us as we read together now. In Jesus' name, I pray. We'll continue with the reading now.
The book of the prophet Isaiah. The book of the prophet Isaiah.
Chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider, and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the king of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come, From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, He is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, Behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, Ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, Restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart.
You have just listened to the Bible reading, and we need to take whatever we have learned to the Lord in prayer. Will you all rise up, please? talk to the Lord in prayer. You've seen a commandment, a warning, an example, an instruction to obey, a promise to claim. Pray for grace that you will do as you are blanched in the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. I welcome you to our Bible study today, and I pray that the word will enrich every life in Jesus' name. We thank the Lord for the strength he has given us. We thank him for the health he has given us and for the protection and preservation of the Lord in our lives. And I pray that until I see you face to face, and even beyond then, the Lord will keep you. And the Lord will keep you healthy, keep you strong, and keep you protected from every area of community, pandemic, or whatever, in Jesus' name. You are blessed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this privilege of coming to you and sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning and hearing from him the great revelation of his word. We're asking, O Lord, that you'll keep us awake and you open our eyes of understanding and we'll behold great, wonderful things out of your word in Jesus' name. And we pray that what we learn, we pray that what we hear will do good in every life in Jesus' name. And you also help us to be the people that will take the word of life, to other people too. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Tonight, as I told you, we are coming to Mark. And we're looking at Mark chapter 13. Actually, this is talking about the end of times. And it's because of a question that the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will see that Jesus Christ was in the temple. And then he came out of the temple. And now, as he came out of the temple, they showed him the beauty of the temple, the splendor of the gospel. And then they asked a question after he said what he said. As we look at the passage today, we're talking on signs of the beginning of the end. The end of the world is coming. And then the Lord is telling us about the signs of the beginnings of the end. And before we go to the exposition, explanation, and the application, we're looking at Mark chapter 13, and I'm reading from verse 1. Mark chapter 13, reading from verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what manner of buildings are here. And then in verse 2 it says, and Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then in verse 3 after he said that, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. Actually, the Mount of Olives at the eastern side of the temple, standing at that at the Mount of the Olives, you can see the temple just right there. That's why in Matthew chapter 24 we're told that this is the Olivet Discourse, because now they were sitting upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, and Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. Those are the four of the 12 disciples, four of the 12 apostles. And what did they ask him? Look at verse 4. In verse 4, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And now Jesus began to give them answers. In the answers he gave them, he spoke about the immediate. He spoke about what will happen next after that. And then he went to the end of the world, because actually they were asking their questions about when the temple will be destroyed. They were asking their question about when the end will be. They were asking their question about the sign of the coming of the Lord. And he began to tell them now in verse 5, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. In verse 6, it tells us, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Then verse 7, when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end, the very end, is not yet. And then in verse 8, which is the concluding verse of what we're studying today, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. Listen to this now. These, all these things happening that he has spoken about, the false prophets, the deception, the devastation, the destruction, the calamities that will come all over the world, the wars and the rumors of wars, and the international strifes and conflicts, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in diverse places, all these, the pestilences and the pandemic and the famines and the troubles, they are the beginnings of sorrows. Beginning of sorrows. That's why tonight, as we look at our Bible study, the message is, the study is, signs of the beginning of the end. Signs of the beginning of the end. As we look at the chapter, it's a significant chapter, and it's the revelation from Christ on the consequences of the things that will be concerning the things, the events that will be happening. Actually, as we have read together, the disciples said they were asking the Lord Jesus, they were fascinated by the past. They were fascinated by the present. What does that mean? In the past, they've seen this temple built. It took 46 years. They have been building and building and building. And we're told, historians have told us, that they were massive stones that were piled together. And then you have decorations and the gold and everything that they could see. So then they were wondering, how will that be destroyed? That is what generated and brought about the question in their mind. The prophecy actually covers, that is, as we look at the whole of chapter 13, the prophecy covers the destruction of the temple. Not only that, it comes to talk about the dispersion of the children of Israel and talks about the times of the Gentiles. What does that mean? The times when the Gentiles will have dominion, domination, oppression over the children of Israel. When foreign government, foreign powers, foreign territory, foreign empires will have dominion over them. And he talks about later the regathering of the children of Israel and about the rapture of the church before the great tribulation, that the church, the people of God, will be taken away, and then the great tribulation will come. And then he talks about the time when the great tribulation will not come and the events of that great tribulation. And then about the second coming of Christ to establish his millennial kingdom. And then from that, the renovation of the whole earth, new earth and new heaven, to establish the everlasting eternal kingdom. All that is covered as we look at Mark chapter 13, the whole of the chapter, and what our responsibility ought to be as we watch, as we wait, and we remain worthy until his coming. Once again, we're talking on the signs of the beginning of the end. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the shocking background of the disciples' demand. The shocking background of the disciples' demand. The reason why they demanded what they demanded is that he had told them about all these things I told you now, and it became shocking to them. They were shocked as to what will happen, how it will happen, when it will happen, and why the kingdom was not coming immediately. Because of that shocking background, they now asked their question. Point number two is the severe battle against damnable deception. It's the severe battle. That is, there'll be deception. Jesus said, beware. Jesus said, take heed. Because deceivers will come, and that deception will be so terrible, will be so destructive, will be so devastating. It will destroy a lot of people's faith and a lot of people's lives. And this battle will be severe. And I pray that the warning the Lord has given us, the warning the Lord has given you, you will abide by it in Jesus' name. Point number three is a sorrowful beginnings with devastating destruction. The sorrowful beginnings with devastating destruction. So we're coming to point number one now. In point number one, which is the shocking background of the disciples' demand. That is the background. What came before? The question was asked. We're looking at Mark chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 1 to verse 4. You see the background there, and then you see the demand. You see the question they were asking. And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples says unto him, Master, see what manner of stones, what manner of buildings are here. That is, how splendid, how beautiful, how eye-arresting, eye-catching at these buildings, at these temples, at these stones. What manner of stones? The size. What manner of stones? The weight. How they put all doses there, Master? Have you looked at this? What manner of stones and what manner of buildings we have here? And then in verse 2, Jesus Christ now telling them, Jesus answered, said unto him, unto that disciple, but in the hearing of all the other disciples. One disciple asking the question and Jesus answering that disciple, but in the hearing of all the other disciples, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be laid one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That is prophetic. It had not happened at that time. And Jesus said, yes, the building is stately. Yes, the building is impressive. Yes, the building looks indestructible. But do you see all these great buildings? Jesus affirmed there were great buildings. Jesus affirmed there were beautiful buildings. And yet he said, there shall not be laid one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They couldn't imagine how that will take place. Just, to give you a preview, before we even go on, AD 70, at this time now, when Jesus was talking to them, it was about AD 30 to AD 32. And, about 40 years after AD 70, General Titus from Rome came and with all his armies, and they leveled the whole building. Actually, they threw in fire, and then it melted all the goals, and it softened all the links and the joints between those heavy stones, and they blew it down. Exactly what Jesus Christ said came to pass. That's in the immediate future to them. But now, all the other things he said that are still to be fulfilled, they're going to be fulfilled. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, 6, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple he just spoke about, stately, magnificent and splendid, and he said, no, one stone will not rest upon another. Everything will be blown down, will be thrown down. Now Peter and James and John and Andrew, have you noticed as you read the list of the apostles and the list of the disciples, you read the list in Matthew, you read the list in Luke, and you read the list in the Acts of the Apostles, every time you have the mention of the 12 apostles and they are all listed together, these four names will always come at the beginning. Peter and James and John and Andrew. You come to another place again. They are the disciples. They are the apostles in the what the theologians have called the inner circle. And as this question had been asked, now the Peter and James and John and Andrew asked privately, what were they asking? Look at verse 4. It says in verse 4, tell us disciples, tell us privately here, tell us. The Pharisees were not here. This is an inner circle meeting. This is an inner circle gathering. All the revelations that Jesus gave as he spoke to his disciples, those Pharisees and scorners, they were not there. So they now said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign that when all these things shall be fulfilled? As you look at that, you see what they were asking. When will all these things come to pass? Some of the things that Jesus Christ has said came as a shock to those disciples when he predicted to them about his death, the death of Christ. That was shocking to them. That was something unrealistic to them because, you know, they thought the kingdom will come immediately. That's why John and James came and he said, we demand something from you, that one will sit on this side, one will sit on that side in your kingdom. They thought the kingdom will immediately appear. So when he spoke about his death, when he spoke about his burial, when he spoke about his rising up the third day, it was a shocking thing to them. That's why even after he rose from the dead and he had appeared unto his own disciples by many infallible proofs, they were asking, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? The kingdom was an immediate thing to them. That's what they thought. They did not know that thousands of years would still be between the first century and the coming of the Lord and the establishment of the kingdom. And when he spoke about the destruction of the stately temple, he spoke about the destruction of the seemingly indestructible temple. That was a shock to them. They never knew that anything like that will happen. And then he spoke about the desolation and the dispersion of the children of Israel, that the enemies will come. They will send trenches around them and they will drive them to all the parts of the world. The dispersion of the children of Israel, of the Jews, it came as a shock. And as they were running over these things in their mind, as they were thinking about all these things, that's why they came to the question they demanded, and they said, when is this to be? And the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled. They were thinking about the delay that will come. The delay between the first century and the coming of the Lord. That delay, the period of that happening until the second coming will now take place and until the world will even end. They had thought before this time that the world is going to be forever and ever and ever, world without end. And when Jesus now said at the end of the world, this will happen, this will happen, they were wondering, you know, end of the world? What does that mean? We thought the world would not end. All these things brought confusion. It brought question. It brought a demand from them. That is why they were now asking. And look at all these things we have mentioned in passing now. We're looking at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. I'm reading from verse 37. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He said, I've come the first time. I've come to take your sins away. I've come to gather you under my wings for protection, so that the eagles and the wild animals that will come will not see you, will not devastate you. But ye would not, because they rejected the preservation, the protection of their Messiah, of their Christ. That's why he now says in verse 38, it says, behold, your house is let unto you, desolate. I want you to look at the message, at the language of Jesus there when he got to the temple. And he saw what they were doing. He said, you make my father's house a den of robbers. But now they were adamant in their rejection of Christ. They were adamant in keeping to their tradition. Because of that, he didn't choose the language, my house or the house of my father anymore. He said, it's now your house. Behold, your house is laid unto you desolate. And then in verse 39, it says, but I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till. He's saying, I'm coming again. He's saying what they have done. They will betray him. That will not be his end. They will kill him. That will not be his end. And they will bury him. That will not be his end. They will even roll a stone over the sepulcher. That will not be his end. He said, until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. If you put everything together, the children of Israel, the Jews, the nation, they had rejected him. And he said, I will go. I know you are going to kill me. I know I'm going to die, but it's not a kind of death that is not foreknown, that was not known to the Almighty God. This was by his pre-knowledge, his foreknowledge, that he will die for the sins of the world, but then he will rise again. And when he rises again, he'll show himself to his own disciples. He'll give them power. They'll continue the work of the Lord. The church will be established, and then at the right time, known unto the Father, he will come again. That's why he said, you will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Those revelations were shocking, you know, unto them. He told them in Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, reading from verse 41, when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. Understand? He has spoken about the temple. And he said the temple will be destroyed. He said the temple will be devastated. No stone will be left one upon another. Now he's talking about the city. And he went over the city. And in verse 42, he says in verse 42, saying, if thou art known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, that he is came to them as the Prince of Peace. He came to them as the one that will get them out of their torment, out of their confusion, and he'll bring them the peace of the kingdom and the peace of the gospel and the peace of the kingdom of God. But they didn't know. If you had only known the things belonging to your peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And then in verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. Shall come. When Jesus was talking, this was still in prophecy. And this was a revelation that none of them even thought this will happen. And then in verse 44, it says in verse 44, and shall lay thee even to the ground. It's talking about the devastation of the city now. It's talking about the scattering of the Jewish people. It's talking about the dominion of the Gentiles over them. It's talking about the pressure, the oppression, and the destruction that will come in the time of the Gentiles, and shall lay thee even to the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because God wanted them to suffer? No, it was a self-inflicted devastation. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Those were the things that Jesus spoke about that came to them as a shock. And actually in chapter 21 of Luke, chapter 21, reading from verse 5, and some, as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said in verse 6, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come. Again, understand that was prophetic at that time. It had not happened at that time. It took some 40 years after. It had 70 AD when this eventually happened. The days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Then in verse 7 it says, and they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when these things shall come to pass? Matthew recorded it, Mark recorded it, and now Luke also has recorded it. Now, I've told you that this came as a shock to them, but really think about it. If they knew the Old Testament, should this have come to them as a shock? If they knew what the prophets of the Old Testament, what they had revealed, will this come to them as a shock? In Ezekiel chapter 7, reading from verse 21, Ezekiel chapter 7, reading from verse 21, and I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey. I will give the city, I will give the land, I will give the nation of Israel, I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil. To the wicked of the earth, he's talking about the Gentiles, how they will come and oppress the children of Israel, how the children of Israel will be conquered, and how those children of Israel will be scattered, their dispersion. They will be given to the hands of the wicked for a spoil, and they shall pollute it. And then in verse 22 it says, my face will I turn also from them, because they rejected his only begotten son, because they rejected their mercy, because they rejected the peace of God, my face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place, my sanctuary, for the robber shall enter into it and defile it. It wasn't only Ezekiel that spoke about that. Even Daniel spoke about that in Daniel chapter 9, reading from verse 26. It says, and after 62 weeks, the prophecy of Daniel, and it's the 70 weeks of Daniel in prophecy, and a week, that's 7, and those 7, a day for a year, actually meant 7 years, and it's like 62 sevens. That shall the Messiah be cut off. You know, even in the Old Testament, what appeared strange to the disciples was already revealed, that the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, he will sacrifice and he will be killed, he will be cut off, but not for himself. Not for himself, not for any sin he had done, not for any iniquity he had committed, not for any transgression of his son. And the people of the priest that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. You know what Jesus was saying? It was a repetition. It was a declaration of what was already said, what was already revealed in the Old Testament, that the people of the priest that shall come, the army of the Antichrist, the army of the arch deceiver that will come, they will destroy the city, they'll destroy the sanctuary. Exactly what Jesus said and what Jesus reiterated before them. Do you see that temple? Do you see all these buildings? Not one stone will be laid on another. Everything will be destroyed. And then he says, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. You know, Jesus eventually told them, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And he said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. exactly what Daniel had prophesied. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That is for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, in the middle of the 7 year period, 3.5 years on this side, 3.5 years on that side, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And this is what the Lord was now revealing to them. Actually, Micah, if you look at Micah chapter 3 verse 12, in Micah, Old Testament, Micah chapter 3 verse 12, it says, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. You know, it said it over and over now. We've read it in Ezekiel, we're reading it now in Micah, we've read it in Daniel, and Jesus Christ emphasized it in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And then when you come to the book of Revelation, everything is laid out. Zion shall for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the house of the Lord as the high places of the forest. It will actually be turned into a jungle. And this is what the Lord emphasized. He had said the temple will be destroyed, the city will be destroyed, and then he mentioned something. He mentioned the end of the world, the end of the world. And this for them was unthinkable. When did he mention the end of the world? Look at Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 39. And notice the language of Jesus. And notice the word that Jesus used. That was the shocking thing to them. The enemy that sold them is the devil. Listen to this now. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Again, in verse 40, it tells us in verse 40, still talking about the world and the end of the world, as therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. This world, it will come to an end in the end of this world. And then in verse 49 of this same chapter, chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever and separate the wicked from among the just. Verse 50 now, in verse 50 it says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, because he mentioned the end of the world. Which of them was surprising? Which of them was shocking? That's why they came to ask the question now about the end. It tells us in chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 28. Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here, we shall not taste of death. Look at this. Till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Many things shocking to them about the end of the world. That was shocking to them about the leveling and the devastation, the spoiling and the destruction of the temple and the city and the scattering of the children of Israel. That was shocking to them. And now he spoke about they will see the coming of the Son of God, the Son of Man in his kingdom. Well, as we have spoken about all this, that's why they ask the question. And we need to note you at this time now, although it appears everything is going on very well, the ground is solid, the sun is rising every morning, and then we go to our market, we go to our places of business. As everything is going on, do you know that this world is going to come to an end? Do you know that there's going to be devastation, destruction, scattering all over the world? Do you know that that man, that terrible man, that terror will come and oppress the whole world? It may come to you as a shock, like it came to the disciples of Christ as a shock. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Peter was not shocked anymore. The apostles were not shocked anymore. They had received the Holy Ghost. Revelation had come upon them, and now they are passing it on to us. They said what Jesus said about the destruction of the temple is fulfilled. And then about the dispersion of the children of Israel, that's done already. And now he spoke about the end of the world, and Peter now takes that up by the Holy Ghost, and he says, but the end of all things is at hand. And we need to do something because of that. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We'll come to point number two now. They had asked the question, and now he was going to answer their question. When shall these things be? What we have spoken about. When will it be? The destruction of the temple. When shall that be? The coming of the Son of God. And when shall that be? The end of the world. And here is the answer he gives them. And this is point number two, the severe battle against damnable deception. And Jesus' answer began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. Deception will come. And Jesus said, yes, the end will come. Yes, the destruction will come. Yes, the devastation will come. Yes, what appears indestructible, the temple, will be destroyed. But take heed, beware, lest any man deceive you. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, for many shall come in my name. Here is Jesus, and he never missed it. He is the personification of the revelation of God. He is the truth. Everything he said was the truth. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Take note of this then, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There'll be terrible deception. And that is what we're battling against, about this deception. How do you detect? If there is deception, how are you going to know that that is deception? I'm not going to follow that. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. That is, your word, the testimony is true and is perfect. The law of God, that's the word of God. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If the people who come, if the people who speak, if the people who preach, if the people who prophesy, if they do not speak, if they do not prophesy, if they do not make their utterances according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It's because there is no truth in them. And now he tells us in Daniel chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 21, Daniel 11 verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. You see, shall stand up is the future. Many people don't know about this future. All that they know today is that Jesus is our Savior, and Jesus is our healer, and Jesus is our deliverer, Jesus is our provider. That's all they know. And they know by and by, sometimes they're not even very sure, then the dead shall rise, and then which alive will caught up with them in the clouds. They do not know much, but you know, as you look at what Jesus said and the support of what the prophets have said, it says in this verse 21 chapter 11 Daniel, it says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably. Is the Antichrist. I spoke about that when I spoke about the pernicious lamb that will come, that will have two horns, but speak of the voice of a dragon. He shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. The kingdom he'll obtain by flatteries. And then as you look at verse 32, the first part of verse 32 here, and such as do wickedly shall he against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries. The people who want to be flattered, religious people who want to be flattered, religious leaders and teachers who want to be flattered, the flattery will come. It will come with deception, devastating deception, a kind of deception they'll not be able to wriggle out of, come out of, because they're waiting for flatteries. In verse 34, it tells us in verse 34, now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping health with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Many will cleave to the deception. Many will abide and many will remain in that deception by flatteries. Jeremiah also spoke about it in Jeremiah, reading here from chapter 29 and verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you. Jesus said, many will come in my name and they shall deceive many. And Jeremiah is telling us, like Christ has told us, take care, take heed and beware. And he says, from the midst of you they will deceive you, neither hearkening to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed, neither hearkening to the dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. And now we come back to Matthew, come back to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 24, and reading from verse 4, the words of Jesus. Jesus answered and said, have you ever thought about that? The words of Jesus. Do you ever walk on that? The words of Jesus. Do you ever take heed because of the words of Jesus? When you have the tendency, and when you have the pull, and when you have the desire, and when you have the interest to listen to this, and listen to this, and listen to that. And many, let's state the fact, many are not grounded in the truth. Many are not grounded in the truth. And a little change, a little twist of the word of God can easily confuse them, and yet many are not listening to the words of Jesus. They are not reading their Bibles. They are not concentrating on the word of truth and revelation given by Christ. And yet Jesus answered and said unto them, unto his own disciples, take heed that no man deceive you. Think about this for us. If those disciples of Christ that listen to him, that saw him, that beheld all his miracles, and that saw all the details of what Jesus said, and they saw perfection as perfection, and they saw revelation as revelation, and they saw Jesus talking, you know, as no other person had ever spoken. If they could still be deceived, I about you, I about I, if we're not careful. And Jesus said, answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Look at verse 24. How will they deceive? What will they use to deceive? For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. They will show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And now, verse 25, very short but very important. Behold, I have told you before. He said, you cannot claim ignorance. I told you. You cannot say, I didn't know. I told you that many people, many so-called prophets will come. They will do great signs and wonders. And there are people who are running after signs and wonders. They are running after miracles. I've seen this here. They're even inviting other people. I saw somebody on the net. I had somebody in it. He said, you know, this, if you have this problem, pandemic, epidemic, COVID-19, coronavirus, or any of the related things, come. A word from me, God has raised me up. I don't use anything. I might just put oil on you, and I have healed this, I've healed that. And many people are running helter skelter, and they're making contact with this and making contact with that. And Jesus said, behold, I told you before, I will not be deceived. I said, I will not be deceived. Say it for yourself. As if I could hear you. God bless you. You will not be deceived in Jesus' name. It goes on to say, he's telling us about the word of God now. What will happen? Luke is telling us in Luke chapter 21 verse 8. Luke chapter 21, we're looking at verse 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. How could it be clearer? Jesus said it over and over. And now would you say you're a follower of Christ, you are not listening to him? You're a disciple of Christ, you are not listening to him? You're a believer in Christ, you are not listening to him? And you say, not me, not me. It will not happen to me. Look at what Jesus said. That's how Peter was overconfident. And when Jesus spoke and said this, this and that, and he said, not me, not me, and it happened to him. The people were overconfident, and they put their leg here, put their eyes there, put their hand there and everywhere, and they're not taking heed. I pray you'll not be deceived. Get away from those things. Look at the word of Jesus and listen to the words of Christ. Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. The time draweth near. If the time was drawing near at that time, how about today? How about today? Don't you hear? Don't you see what is happening? Don't you see a resemblance of the pestilences? We call it by another name. We say pandemic. We call it Asian flu. We call it Spanish flu, or whatever name we call it. And the earthquakes happening in diverse places, and the tornadoes and the tsunamis and everything. Isn't the Lord telling us the time draweth near? Go ye not therefore after them. You will not be deceived in Jesus' name. Members, all the members of our church that are hearing the word of God every time, and they have the opportunity of hearing the word of God every time, we will not be deceived in Jesus' name. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 1. But there shall be false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, even as there shall be. There shall be. There were in the past. At the time of Isaiah, there were false prophets. At the time of Jeremiah, there were false prophets. At the time of Moses, there were false prophets. At the time of Ezekiel and Daniel, there were false prophets. At the time of Hosea, at the time of all those prophets of the Old Testament, Old Covenant, there were false prophets also among the people. Now it says, even as there shall be. Even as this future now, even as there shall be future to the time of Peter. That's the time in which we are living now. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, damnable deception, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. I pray you'll not follow the pernicious ways of the false prophets, of the deceivers, of the devastating, destructive deceivers. You'll not follow in Jesus' name. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And then in verse 3, it says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, deceptive words, shall they with pretending words, that shall they with lying words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and the damnation slumbereth not. The Lord is telling us that the time in which we're living is the time when this kind of prophecy is being fulfilled. Now, let me say something and borrow from what we have been hearing on the prevention of devastating disease, on the prevention of the devastating coronavirus that is devastating the whole world now. You know, we have a responsibility. personal responsibility as well as corporate collective responsibility. If we're going to be free, free from deception as we're free from disease, free from doctrines of devils as we're free from disease, free from damsels of death. There are people that damsels of death, they bring deadly doctrine and they bring deadly disease and they bring a deadly deception, but they dress well, they talk well, and when you see them on maybe YouTube, or you see them on the internet, that are cruel, real, desirable themselves. But you know, everything they are saying, they might say this, and they're very interesting, and they're captivating, and they're just deception, and they're just deceivers, and they're themselves of death, and themselves of destruction. I pray you'll not be fascinated by evil in any way in Jesus' name. And then that brings discord and division. The thing you accepted before, you begin to doubt because of those declarations that all those people are saying. And then you have the dominion of darkness, the power of darkness. When there's a crack in the wall, and when there's a crack, they're able to come in. Eventually, you are sucked in. I pray you will not be deceived in Jesus' name. That's why Jesus said, watch. That's why Jesus said, you must protect yourself. That's why Jesus is saying, take heed and you keep your distance. Keep your distance. Isn't that what we are being told now? That if you're going to be free from this, the droplets of bacteria, the droplets of filth that is coming out of the mouth of people, you need to use face mask and you need to keep your social distance. The same thing, if you're going to be free from the deception, if you're going to be free from the disease, if you're going to be free from the damn cells of destruction and the damn cells of a deceit, if you're going to be free from the doctrines of devils, you'll keep your distance away from those who are propagating that. You will use your face mask, that is, to cover yourself. You protect yourself. You put a barrier, a barricade between you and those people. And then by the grace of God, you will stay safe. By the grace of God, you will stay alive. By the grace of God, you'll stay sound and healthy in Jesus' name. Give me a good amen there that shows you will do it. You'll not allow anything to bring you under deception, anything to bring you under the dominion of the deceivers who are coming with erroneous doctrine in Jesus' name. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Lord Jesus Christ has spoken, and he spoke expressly. He spoke plainly. And now he said, the Comforter will come, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. I've spoken to you, Jesus said. And the disciples, the apostles, they receive the Spirit of God. And when they receive the Spirit of God, they will speak by the Spirit of truth abiding in them. And now Paul the apostle is telling us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Very clear. In the latter time, later time, later to that time, which is the time in which we're living now, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, lying spirits, deceptive spirits, malicious spirits, erroneous spirits, false spirits, and the seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. Look at verse 2. It says in verse 2, they'll be speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What's our responsibility? What's my responsibility? What's the collective responsibility of the ministers together? Look at verse 6. In verse 6, it says, but if thou shalt put the brethren in remembrance of these, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. How will that happen? Look at verse 15. in verse 15, meditate upon these things, all that you have heard, all that Jesus said, all that Jesus revealed, all that Jesus spoke about, all the things that will be happening in the latter times, and all the deceptive things that will be coming forth in these days in which we live. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And then in verse 16, it says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. Take heed unto thyself, the revelation of Christ, that he said Jerusalem will be leveled, destroyed. It happened. The children of Israel will be scattered. It happened. The temple will be devastated, destroyed. It happened. The times of the Gentiles, when the Gentile powers will oppress the children of Israel, it happened. And then the regathering of the children of Israel, when the fig tree will begin to bud again. And he said, as you see these things, understand, this generation shall not pass until everything be fulfilled. Meditate on those things and get yourself ready for the coming of the Lord. And then that he said, before that time, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Take it unto yourself, and all that doctrine continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I pray none of us will be careless in Jesus' name. I pray none of us will be taken unawares in Jesus' name. If we're not going to be taken unawares, what is going to happen then? Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as I read from verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3, let no man deceive you. How many times have we had that now in the Old Testament? Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, let no man deceive you. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ, in Mark, in Matthew, in Luke, let no man deceive you. And now we come to 2 Thessalonians, and the Spirit is speaking expressly through Paul the Apostle, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away false, and that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Look at verse 4. It said, that son of perdition who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So he that he himself as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He'll not even say, I am Christ alone. He'll say, I'm Christ, I'm God, I'm all in all, I'm everything. In verse 5, we're told in verse 5, remember ye not? Don't you remember? And if you have been listening to the Bible, say, don't you remember? If you have been listening to the messages on eschatology and the study of a last event before the rapture and before the end of the world, have you not heard before? Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And then in verse 6, it says in verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. In verse 7, it says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Paul the Apostle said, even at his own time, Paul the Apostle said, in his own generation, the mystery of iniquity was already at work. If it was already at work at that time, I about today, I about now, when we see all these signs and everything that Jesus spoke about, and when we see everything coming, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. He who now hinders will hinder. He who now prevents it will prevent until he be taken out of the way. What's that? That's the rapture. The church, the light of the world, is the one that is stopping and hindering and limiting the full-blown devastation and the full-blown darkness that will come in the final days. And it says, you know, he who retains or he who restrains and he who now lets, it says he will restrain until he, the church, is taken out of the way. And then in verse 8 it says, and then shall the wicked be revealed. The wicked, you see that capital letter? The wicked, that's the Antichrist. The wicked, that's the chief deceiver. The wicked, that's the one that will devastate the whole world by deception. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Why is he going to be so successful in bringing deception, in bringing devastation, in bringing many people that ought to know the truth, and is going to lead them into error as if they are totally blindfolded? Look at verse 9. In verse 9, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's not the secret of what his success is. It's going to bring power, signs, lying wonders. And then in verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. They received not the love of the truth. All they want is cheap miracle. All they want is lying wonders. All they want is all those things that, you know, I want to live now. All I want is prayer. All I want is a miracle. All I want is this and that. They do not have the love for the truth, that they might be saved. And it said then in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They'll believe the deception. In verse 12, the consequence now, that they all, no exception, that they all, preacher and hearer, that they all, minister and members, all those who accept deception, that they all, the speakers and the hearers, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but have pleasure in them in unrighteousness. That's why the Lord Jesus said, beware. That's why he said, take it, that no man deceive you. It now comes to another area. We come to point number 3 now. In point number 3, the sorrowful beginnings with devastating destruction. The sorrowful beginnings with devastating destruction. We're coming back to Mark chapter 13. I'm reading from verses 7 and 8. Mark chapter 13, we're reading from verses 7 and 8. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, ye shall hear. Those who will be in the world at that time, as the end is coming close and is getting closer and closer and closer, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. Such things must needs be. Can I lend you some wisdom? There are many people that they concentrate their prayers on things that must happen, that will happen. That there's no way they must happen. They are praying that they will not happen. And Jesus said, you'll hear of wars. There are people who will fast and pray that there will be no wars. But this prophecy, rumors of wars, the people that will concentrate on prayer, there will be no rumors of wars. And it says, such must needs be, but the end is not yet. What does that mean? There are things that will still happen after the wars, after the rumors of wars. There are some things that will perplex the minds of people. In verse 8, it says, this, and for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This is not a conditional prophecy. This is absolute prophecy. This is what will take place. It says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. They will happen. They will happen. They are already happening. And Jesus said, these are the signs that the end is very near. And as they happen in rapid succession, it says the end is coming nearer and nearer. And you'll have earthquakes in diverse places. And there shall be famines and troubles. Then he said, these are the beginnings of sorrows. Think about that. These are the beginnings of sorrows. What does that mean? It says when you hear of those wars, just the beginning of sorrows. You're hearing of national and international conflicts. It says it's just the beginning of sorrows. You're hearing of earthquakes, and you're hearing of pandemics, epidemics, and pestilences in diverse places. It says these are just the beginnings of sorrows. It says famines in diverse places and perplexity. Things happening, the distress of nations. It says perplexity will come. And they're just the beginning of sorrows. It says there'll be full-blown, eventually devastation, full-blown devastation. But if the beginning is as terrible as this, what will the full-blown devastation be when that worldwide destruction will come? What will that look like? Look at when it says these are the beginnings of sorrows. It's talking about the birth pains when a child is to be born. The pregnant mother will have pain, and then it will subside, then it will have pain. It will be infrequent at the beginning, and then it will come more frequently, and then it will become very severe, the beginning of sorrows. That's the language Jesus used. Look at that language in Jeremiah chapter 30, reading from verses 6 and 7. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6, ask ye now and see whether a man does travail with child, having pain, infrequent pain, and having pain, frequent pain, devastating, terrible pain, seizing him. Does a man travail with child? Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Look at verse 7. It says in verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. It's talking about those birth pains in Jeremiah, reading there from chapter 4, verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. At that time, when you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, and you'll be hearing of nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, it says, I've heard the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. It says in verse 20, it tells us destruction upon destruction is cried, and for the whole earth is spoiled. Suddenly, and my tent spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. In verse 21, it says, how long shall I see the standard? It's talking about the standard of war, that those soldiers will raise up and hear the sound of the trumpet. It's talking about the trumpet that is sounded because of the alarm of war. And then in verse 22, it says in verse 22, for my people is fully, they have not known me. They are sorted children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good have they no knowledge. It says that's the reason why that devastation will come. That's the reason why those evil things will come. And then in verse 31, for I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth a first child. The voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of the murderers. It's talking about the lament. It's talking about the pain. It's talking about the sorrows of the birth pain going to take place in that day. And I pray as the Lord is revealing all this to us, we will remain ready for the coming of the Lord in Jesus' name. In Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 21. Jeremiah chapter 13 verse 21, what will thou say when he shall punish thee? The time of that great tribulation is the time of punishment, is the time of wrath. It says, what will you say at that time when he, the Almighty, will rise up to punish the whole world? For thou hast taught them to be captains as the chief over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee? Look at this. As a woman in travail, as a woman in travail. It's talking about the birth pains and the travail of the people at that time. Let's come to the New Testament now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 3. It says, for when they shall say peace and safety, no problem, everything will be all right. We are in charge. We are in control. Everything will soon subside. You'll be hearing here and hearing there. All the words, don't worry about that. We're looking into this. We're having this meeting. We're having this consultation. We're having this committee. We're having national, international consultation. Everything will be all right. Peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. As travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Actually, this is what Revelation talks about. Look at Revelation chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 1 there. In Revelation chapter 6, and from verse 1, it's talking about the times of war, about the times of deception, and about the times of false peace. It's talking about the time when all that devastation will come all over the world, and the people of the world will be taken by surprise. As Revelation comes now, it's giving us in pictorial form, and John the Beloved said, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts, the living creature, saying, come and see. In verse 2, what did he see? In verse 2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And notice something there before you leave that verse. Look at it. It says, he saw a horse and somebody riding on that horse, and he had a bow in his hand. Normally, those who fight with bows, they ought to have an arrow that they will shoot. But there's no arrow here. And already has a crown, and they went on conquering and to conquer. That's the false peace that the Antichrist will bring at the beginning. He rides into those countries. He rides into all those communities. And then he has a bow in his hand. He says, look at my bow. There's no arrow. I am for peace. And by that deceptive peace, by that deception, he conquers them and he keeps on conquering. But then in verse 3, something is going to happen. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And what did you see in verse 4? In verse 4 it says, and there went out another horse that was red, that's the color of blood, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. When he was saying peace, peace, is conquering by peace and conquering by flattery, all of a sudden it turns around and it changes and it takes peace from the earth, and that they shall kill one another. Those are the wars and the rumors of wars, nation against nation and country against country, this community against that community. They shall kill one another, and there was given him a great sword. And then in verse 5, the next thing now comes, and it says, when he had opened the sword seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Look at verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hast not oil and the wine. You know what that is saying? A pair of balances to measure food, to measure grain, to measure the barley. It's a time of famine. Exactly what Jesus said. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be commotion and there will be conflict, and then there will be famine, there will be pestilences. And when all those deaths are taking place, and when all the famine has come, what's going to be the next thing? Look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. In verse 8, look at what he saw in verse 8. And I looked, and I beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed after. Disease will come, hunger will come, pestilences will come, pandemic will come, and then people are dying. And it says after that, I see death and I see hell following after, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. When those things are happening, what will be? Is he going to stop like that? No, it's going to escalate. Look at verse 14. Reading from verse 14 now. In verse 14 it says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Verse 15. In verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. In verse 16, and it says, and said unto the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. The people that rejected the love of the Lamb, they have the wrath of the Lamb. They rejected the redemption of the Lamb, then they have the wrath of the Lamb. In verse 17, it says, in verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come. The great day of his wrath is come. I want you to notice something about the great tribulation. Number one, the Antichrist has his own anger, his own wrath, and he comes upon the world. He knows he has a short time, and he's going to bring deception. He'll bring devastation. He'll bring destruction. He'll bring disease. He'll bring calamity. He'll bring wars and rumors of wars. And then on the other hand, apart from what the Antichrist will be doing, God himself will say his great day of wrath has come, and who is able to stand. In all this, what do we do? How do you protect yourself? How do you get ready? So that this, as we talk about the coronavirus, the COVID-19, will not get you. You have a responsibility. You have something to do. As we talk about disease, you have something to do to protect yourself. As we talk about the deception and devastation and the death and the damnation that will come upon the world, as we're getting to the end of the age and the end of the world, you have something something to do so as to protect yourself. What are you to do? We're told in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, and I'm reading from verse 33. Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Lord said, I've told you, I've revealed to you what will be happening as we come to the end of the age, and mark it down, note it down, underline it in your heart, in your Bible, or your note. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In verse 34 now says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. My brother, there are times we are watching over other people. We are not watching over ourselves. My sister, there are times we are watching over our daughters, over our sons. We are not watching over ourselves. And sometimes our son, our daughter will catch us and say, Mommy, that's what you told me not to do. Mommy, that's what you told me not to say. We're watching over those sons. We're watching over those daughters. That's right. But we should watch over ourselves too. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. In verse 35, it says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Jesus said that time of the great tribulation is not a localized tribulation. It's not a continent, only one continent. It will be happening to them. It says on the face of the whole earth. And then it says in verse 36, it says, watch ye therefore, brother, watch ye therefore, sister, watch ye therefore, brethren, watch ye therefore, and pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And to stand before the Son of Man. What's the Lord saying in conclusion? As we bring the Bible story to conclusion today, it's saying, number one, be ready. What does that mean? Be saved, be sanctified, be secured. Be ready. Make sure, check up on your salvation, on your life eternal, on your connection with the Lord, on your relationship with the Lord. Be ready, be saved, be sanctified, be secured. What's that saying? Be ready. That means be responsible. Don't be irresponsible. Just, you know, act like this, act like that, go here, go there, jump into fire, jump into ditch. Be responsible, be righteous, be rapturable. The Lord is saying, take heed to yourself and pray so that you will be found worthy to stand before the Son of Man when he will come. Be ready. That means be watching, watchful, be waiting, and be worthy. And I pray the Lord will make you ready, keep you ready, preserve you, so that you'll be ready when the Lord will come in Jesus' name. We began the study today on the beginnings of the end time, the beginnings, the signs of the beginnings of the end time. And as the Lord is revealing all this to us, let's pray so that each of us will watch, each of us will keep waiting, each of us will be witnessing while we're waiting, and each of us will remain worthy to be in the sight, in the presence of the Lord on the final day. Why don't you rise up and we're going to pray together. Rise up so we can pray together that the Lord himself will be with you, and the Lord himself will keep you watching, will keep you waiting, will keep you worthy, that the Lord will keep you secured in his grace, that the Lord will keep you saved, sound, ready for heaven. That the Lord himself, that sanctification will not be sanctification of the mouth. It will be a reality. That God will preserve you from the deception in the world, deception that is coming on in the whole world now, deceiving everyone. And they have the wherewithal where they can now blow up the deception everywhere. Be careful, beware that those deceptive revelations of false prophets will not catch you. And be responsible. Don't act irresponsibly. Be responsible. Be responsible for your life, for your security, for your stability. be responsible that you will stand. God will keep you. I will make you stand. And then, as you are praying, that you'll be ready when it will come. You'll be accounted worthy when it will come. He'll take you away, and you'll not be part of the destruction that will happen on the final day. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your revelation. Thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the personification of the truth. It's revealed the past. It's shown us the present. It's shown us what is going to come in the future. And it's giving us appropriate warning so that we will escape all the deception coming on at the latter part of the end of the world. And we're asking, oh Lord, you'll keep us watching, watchful, waiting, witnessing, worthy, that will escape all those things that will come on the final day to the people who are careless, in Jesus' name. I pray that all those who have heard, those who have not gotten saved, will be saved, born again, and will have real connection with Christ and be connected and converted and then consecrated and remain abiding in the Lord. And when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise and those who are alive will be caught up together with them, I pray my brother there, my sister there, my child, my daughter there, my son there will not be missing, in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, to act responsible. Help us to remain righteous. Help us to remain rapturable every moment of the day until you will come to catch us away, in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And you say, amen. God bless you. I appreciate your being present at the Bible study. Please inform other people. Don't miss these times of fellowship, Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Let's be together and let's remain rapturable. Thank you, and God bless you.